On today's edition of the Monocle Arts Review, we're talking music. I'm Robert Bands, and as always, on a Tuesday, we're giving a few of this week's album releases a spin. Joining me in the studio today to guide us through a trio of musical goodies is Will Hodgkinson, chief rock and pop critic for The Times. Well, welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
And I think, for the two of us, we're still in Happy New Year territory.
Yes, well, we haven't seen each other, so we're allowed to say
that. And also, we're recording this show on the saddest day of the year. Nothing particular has happened to us so far today.
No.
But it is supposed to be, in terms of kind of statistically, it is the saddest day of the year.
It is. And we should have a duty. If we, you know, when you think, well, that's official.
Yeah.
So therefore, we are allowed to be happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not our fault if we're sad.
Exactly.
It's not because of our failures as human beings.
Exactly.
It's because the world, you know, this is a sad day for the world.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
It's our job. We can perk people up with our musical choices, or your musical choices. None better, in fact, than Matthew E. White and Flo Morrissey's.
This is
a wonderful record. Actually, what's the album called? It's got a funny, it's a strangely unmemorable title.
Yes, it's Ruby Man, Gentlewoman.
It's good, isn't it?
It's such a great album. It's really nice. Flo Morrissey is one of nine children. She's the daughter of Helena Morrissey, who used to be called the Superwoman. You know,
yeah.
She's a city flyer, and her dad's a Buddhist monk. So she's had a kind of, I think, privileged but quite bohemian upbringing. She made an album before, which is okay. It's quite sweet, but it wasn't really there.
Yeah.
Matthew E. White being this sort of Virginia polymath with his own studio and big record collector, you know, sort of that kind of guy that references everything.
He's a bit like the Paul Simon character from Annie Hall.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? He's kind of a bit Hello Trees, Hello Sky.
A little
he's
bit.
Kind of a bit like, or the...
Without the cocaine.
Yeah, possibly. He goes for the softer drug, I feel, Matthew
yes,
White, possibly, and it bears itself out on this lovely LP.
It's just a really nice album of cover versions. It's really great. And it's you know, you have a version of Everybody Loves the Sunshine by Roy Ayers. You've got a version of Suzanne and Sunday Morning by the Velvet Underground. And you think, well, these are great songs, but they're sort of hackneyed. We all know them. But they do different things with them. So Sunday Morning, the original version, is a folky pop, very sweet pop song, and they sort of boost it up. And Suzanne is different. It's not quite as sad, but at the same time, it sort of brings out the tenderness of the song. And my favourite, I think, must be the Grease theme tune.
Well, let's have a bit of this. This is a really, what on earth can you do with the Grease theme tune?
What can you do?
These guys know.
Grease is the word.
Okay, it's a theme from Grease, as performed by Matthew E. White and Flo Morrissey from their new record called Gentlewoman, Ruby Man. That's kind of typical of the treatment. There's something of the arched eyebrow there, but they're not taking the mickey out of what is a wonderful song.
You can love music and still find the humour in it.
Mm.
I think that's the thing. You know, when I first heard about this record, I thought, oh no, it's going to be like those John Lewis ads where you get you get someone doing an indie, you know, some old Oasis song, and they turn it into kind of Chase Me, I'm a Pixie music. And it's awful. But this wasn't like this at all. It was fun. I think she's got a really great quality to her voice. It really reminds me of, if you know Maria Muldaur, who did that very wonderful song, Midnight at the Oasis. Sort of coming out of the hippie era.
Yeah.
When people were discovering, you know, sort of production qualities and, you know, the kind of California lifestyle that goes with it. It's got something about that to it. But because it's, you know, 2017, it's also got a kind of, I think, an element of irony to it. But you can love music, like I said, and still have an ironic touch. And so, yeah, the Grease theme tune is ironic in a way, but they do it so well.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing to get right. As I understand it, this record was made because, I think it was in the Guardian newspaper. The reviewer reviewed two albums, one album by Matthew E. White and one album by Flo Morrissey on the same page. And they saw this and thought, hey, I kind of like the sound of your album and I like the sound of your album.
I think
right?
That's the beginning bit. I think then what happened is that there was a tribute to Lee Hazlewood at the Barbican. in London, and they were both performing there, and the connection had been made. So then Matthew E. White invited Flo Morrissey, who's British, to come out to Virginia and record this, and they did, and it's just a lot of fun. I mean, that's the thing. It's not aiming for anything particularly deep. You know, these are cover versions, but there's a lot of fun. There's a lot of love to it.
And you can shine a light onto these songs by just giving them a bit of space to breathe. As we heard on that greasing, there's not a lot of production on it. It sounds there's a kind of lightness to it. It's not trying to be a funk railroad. It's trying to do, it's something.
Her voice
it's something
is great.
Else. Yeah,
her voice is great. And also there's some unusual ones. I mean, there's Thinking About You by Frank Ocean. You wouldn't it doesn't necessarily fit with these 60s and 70s classics like the Velvet Underground and the Grease theme. So it's quite a broad church.
Talking of broad churches, Flaming Lips have teamed up with the US's answer to Charlotte Church, as we were talking about earlier, Miley Cyrus.
It's true.
What an unlikely marriage. Is it a match made in heaven? Well,
it's a really weird thing. It seems that Miley Cyrus became, when she stopped being a teen pop queen and then went completely wild, and then discovered the great love of marijuana, self-professed love of marijuana, she became a big Flaming Lips fan. Sooner or later they met. And
I like the way that these two things are inextricably linked.
Yes, right? Well, I'm not making any assumptions
and therefore,
here. Yeah, but it's certainly psychedelic music.
Yeah,
and she appears on this album. I must say, the album itself is for me a little bit disappointing. It's okay. It's just a bit sort of incidental music. It's very indistinct, kind of psychedelic. It's, you know, Wayne Coyne, the leader of the Flaming Lips, described it as a cross between Syd Barrett and ASAP Rocky, which is nothing like either of them and doesn't really bear any relation. But the track that they've recorded, which is called We're Family, with Miley Cyrus, who's become great friends of the Flaming Lips, is really good fun. And it's a kind of hazy sunshine pop classic, which it puts her in a good light, it puts them in a good light. Somehow the two work together well.
It's called We're Family. It's Miley Cyrus teaming up with the Flaming Lips on their new album called, am I saying this, Oxymelody?
Oxymelody, yeah, I guess so.
And this, apparently, Oxymelody, is an album which features a very loose story about the fictional titular drug that makes people sleep for 3 months and dream of having sex on unicorns.
Well,
specific side effect,
yes.
Or effect, or desired effect on the drug.
I can't vouch for it. I've never tried it. So, okay. I'll report back in the name of research.
Okay, next time, well, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay.
That'd be good. That's got that kind of woozy, it sounds kind of classic Flaming Lips. You're not going to mistake it for anything else.
No.
I feel like they're maybe one of those bands that kind of need some sort of bowl. They need to do something again.
Something's going to happen.
Since Yoshimi Battle the Pink Robots.
Well, exactly.
Kind of,
if you remember the soft bulletin, Yoshimi, yeah. These were fantastic albums, because what they did then was they did really psychedelic music, but they had great songs.
Mm.
This album, for me, is psychedelic, but it's a bit of a wash. You know, We're Family is probably the most actual song. You know, most of them just feel like kind of moods, which is okay, but I think they're treading water a little bit, and I feel that Flaming Lips are great and interesting, and I think we're going to see great things again from them.
Maybe they need to do a Matthew E. White and do an entire record with Miley Cyrus. Maybe they need an unlikely foil.
I think that could work well. They did do that album, which is a version of Sgt. Pepper, which was okay. Again, it felt like it didn't quite work, because you'd sort of, the entire album, you just go back to the original, really. But I could see them doing something with Miley Cyrus. I mean, it's the two of them have become great friends, and they seem to bring out the best in each other.
Maybe loads of marijuana is not the most productive drug.
Maybe that's more productive. Who knows?
Also, in spirit of how the Matthew E. White and Flo Morrissey record was made, I think that needs to be a challenge that you need to take up at the Times pop music page as well. You have to forge a duets album through two unlikely artists. Who do you think they'd be?
So I don't have to. Oh, I see. I thought you were saying I have to make this duet sound myself.
You should be horrible. you'd have to take lead vocals or lead guitar or anything, or producer credit. You just have to be the kind of person that brought two artists together.
Okay, well,
who that would be?
Marilyn Manson and Cruz Beckham.
Okay, that's pretty good stuff. Watch this space. Okay, I can't wait for this to happen. Will's last choice is Courtney Marie Andrews. Why don't we take a cut of this? We'll talk off the back of it. The track is called Rookie Dreaming. Okay, it's a new voice, Courtney Marie Andrews. The track is Rookie Dreaming. Well, that's gorgeous.
It's lovely.
Classic stuff, isn't it? A bit of Carole King there.
Yeah, I mean, she's from Phoenix, Arizona. She's released a bunch of albums which sold very, very little.
A new voice to me only then.
Oh, no, she's a new voice to everyone. She hasn't... very few people would have heard these albums. You know, they were just small releases. She was a backup singer for Jimmy Eat World, who are kind of emo pop band. And what she's done now, I think she's just found her voice. You know, she's just got there. It's kind of, you know, clearly it's country music, but it's very much in the confessional singer-songwriter Joni Mitchell. You mentioned Carole King. It's somewhere between the two. And I think what's happened is that she just got to that age where she's got enough to write about, which is a key thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the fact that she has remained fairly unknown now has helped her because she's got good. But at the same time, she's had life experiences rather than just fame, you know, which kind of cuts off life experiences in many ways, or at least cuts off development.
And in terms of reviewing records like this, does it help? You need something as a reviewer to get your teeth into. It needs to be some sort of, I mean, if the music is wonderful, that's great. If there's 10 stone dead brilliant songs, regardless almost of lyric on there, that's fine. If the tunes are great, but you need something to get your teeth into as a reviewer, don't you?
There's some
lyrical content in there.
You do, and also you're looking for ideally what you want is that the music somehow reflects a kind of reality. So a lot of these songs are about, you know, she's been living an itinerant life as a singer-songwriter, and a lot of them have got a longing for home or trying to find somewhere, trying to work out where she belongs. And also the idea of, you know, what's the purpose of it? You get to, I think she's in her late 20s. She's still young. But, you know, once you get past your early 20s, you start thinking, is this dream really worth it? You know, it's a bit like the film La La Land. You know, that's really what it's about.
I was just about to say that.
Are we ever going to make it? You know,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
about, and the songs are about that. I mean, what I would say, and this is a sort of interesting thing in terms of reviewing albums, is that there's nothing particularly new about this. This is very classic country rock, Emmylou Harris style music. She's not reinventing the wheel. So you're thinking as a reviewer, well, what's new here? The only thing that's new is her personal experience and her communication to the listener. So that's what I liked about it.
And that sort of classic stuff is possibly more difficult than anything else to get right, because there is such a wealth, there is such a rich back catalogue. Emmylou Harris, Carole King, Joni Mitchell, all these wonderful artists that have made these great records. Sometimes you take that record off the shelf, you play a track of it, and it reminds you of, you know, the hissing of summer lawns. You think, sod it, I'll just put that on, right? I mean, that's the problem, isn't it?
And the other problem is that there's so much of this stuff. There's so many singer-songwriters, because it's easy. You don't need much money to pick up a guitar and record a demo. So how you stand out from the crowd when you're doing resolutely traditional music like this is very, very hard. But there's something about this record. I mean, in a way, it doesn't stand out. It really is fairly conventional. But it's just there's an element of truth there that she's got a lovely voice and you believe her. And I think that's what counts.
Okay, it's Courtney Marie Andrews. The track we heard is Rookie Dreaming. It's from an album called Honest Life, and that's out this Friday on Loose Music and Mama Bird Recording Company. to give it its full title. As if people are scratching this down at home, right?
Desperate to find out.
Desperate to find out. Before that, we heard The Flaming Lips. We heard a cut called We a Family with Miley Cyrus, possibly a handsome comma in an unfinished sentence for a once great band, we hope. And we kicked off with Flo Morrissey and Matthew White. The album is called Gentlewoman Ruby Man, and that is out now on Glass Note Records. Thanks very much, Will.
Thank you.
We have alleviated the saddest day of the year, I hope, with three great musical choices.
Yeah, and also three, you know, music that's all there to cheer you up and make you feel less alone.
Okay.
Which I think we all need.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a tick in all of our boxes. Okay, thanks to everybody. The show was produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for our theatre review. But for the time being, I've been Robert Bounds, and thanks for tuning in.